So welcome. It's good to see all of your faces this morning.
I have a few announcements to share with you this morning. The first is that Session and I will be mailing out plans for reopening the church this week. Mount Nebo has their session meeting on Tuesday night, and after their session meeting, we will communicate the plan to everyone. If you do not receive the plan, either by email or mail by June 1st, please let me know and I'll make sure that you get it. Just a reminder for Glenshaw Valley folks, we are going to be having our congregational meeting immediately following online worship next Sunday, May 31st. You should have received an email from Cliff with the packets and the stuff for that meeting. Lynn is going to be mailing out paper copies for those who don't have email. Continue to remind you that Bible study will be happening on Thursdays at 2 o'clock on Zoom. Right now we are studying the book of Esther. We'll probably choose another book in a couple weeks. Even though we are living in a strange time, it is still Memorial Day on Monday, and I would like to wish everyone a happy Memorial Day. All right, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mark for our prelude. Thank you, Mark. Let us transition to the sharing of our joys and concerns. I'll share what I have, and then I will invite you all to either message me or unmute yourself and share your prayer requests. So firstly, let us remember in our prayers the men and women who have died in service to our country. We continue to pray for Kathy Sagi. She was in the hospital a little earlier this week receiving treatment for dehydration. Also, let's keep Janet and Roy's granddaughter in our prayers. She probably has Lyme disease and is taking medicine for that. All right, what else can we be praying for?
Yeah, I have one. This lady, an older lady, was in an accident yesterday, and she hurt her arm real bad, and she was having a hard time breathing, and they airlifted her to Lakeland. So if you could keep, I don't know what her name is, but if you could keep her in prayer, that'd be good.
Sure.
Okay. I have a couple. I have a prayer request for my son, Michael. He's really having a lot of trouble dealing with this. He's in a fairly deep depression, and he has some anxieties. So prayers that he's able to muddle through all this. I also have a prayer request similar to what you said, Pastor Rebecca, but all of those who lost their lives and those who are dealing with the loss, they're losing more and more people that they had because of age or whatever. So a lot of their friends or co-people that they served with are passing away. So makes it very difficult for some to understand and deal with. I also have a praise request. Some of you know Jancy Daly. She's my cousin. She passed her credentials and is officially a pastor. She's giving sermons on a permanent, quote, fill-in basis. And she's preaching at Allison Park Church, but in the Butler branch. So praises for that. She finally got God's calling and took it.
Awesome. Thank you, Kathy.
Rebecca, if I can ask for prayers for the Pope family. It's one of my best friends. Her mom just passed away. Years ago, we had square dancers at the church. Her and her husband, Bill, were square dancers there. So just prayers for the family.
Yes, we will pray for them. Any other prayer requests?
Prayers from my nephew, and he got married yesterday by Zoom. And, yes, prayers for my nephew and his wife. Everything went well, and now they're on a little camping trip. So,
oh, how cool!
It was very, very, very sweet. Yes.
Aww.
It's my nephew.
Is your nephew Jason?
Justin.
Justin
and his wife Christina.
Awesome. Yay. It's wonderful that people are still able to get married even in these kind of unconventional times.
Yes.
All right. We will lift these prayer requests up a little bit later in the service. At this time, I invite you to join with me for our call to worship. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord, to him who rides across the highest heavens, the ancient heavens, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the heavens. You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. At this time, I am going to mute myself and invite Mickey to lead us in Alleluia, Sing to Jesus.
Thank you.
Friends, join with me now in our prayer of confession. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sin of this world. Although Christ is among us as our peace, we are a people divided against ourselves as we cling to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasures we pursue lay waste the land and pollute the seas. The fears and jealousies that we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. We abuse your good gifts of imagination and freedom, or intellect and reason, and have turned them into bonds of oppression. Lord, have mercy upon us, heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Friends, hear the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen. Join with me now as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our choir's pre-recorded anthem.
friends, please join me in prayer. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you taught us to pray and to offer our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Spirit that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us pray for the world. Lord, we continue to pray for an end to the coronavirus pandemic, particularly, Lord, as our country, I believe, is set to hit 100,000 deaths to this virus this weekend. Lord, we pray that a treatment and a vaccine would be made available, and we mourn with the family and friends of those who have lost loved ones to this pandemic. Lord, we also pray for our country, the United States. Lord, this virus is threatening to divide us along partisan lines. Lord, we pray that though we may disagree over how we are going to reopen or when we may reopen, that we are able to treat each other with charity, that we are able to assume that everyone wants the best for their families, for their communities, and for their businesses, and that when we disagree with one another, we would approach each other with love and patience. Lord, we continue to pray for our leaders, particularly, Lord, our local leaders, as they have to enforce guidelines and mandates. We pray that you would give them wisdom as they discern what to do. We pray that you would give them courage as they have to make unpopular decisions. And Lord, especially, we pray that you would give them rest so that they are able to lead well. Lord, we also pray for the sick. Lord, today we lift up to you Janet and Roy's granddaughter. We pray that she would recover from her Lyme disease. We pray that you would be with Kathy as she recovers from her dehydration, with her son Michael, who is struggling with depression and anxiety. We also pray for the lady who is airlifted to the hospital. Lord, we continue to pray for the Hope family and for Kathy's cousin who became a pastor. But Lord, in the midst of great tragedy, there are great moments of joy. Lord, today we pray for Justin and Christina who got married yesterday. We pray that you would bless their marriage as they start this new adventure together. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to you. God of compassion, we ask that you would bless us and those we love, our friends and our families, that drawing close to you, though we are apart, we may be drawn closer to each other. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, in a moment, I'm going to invite Mark to play our offering. And while he does that, I would invite you to reflect on what you are waiting for from God and how that waiting is making you feel. So go ahead, Mark. I'm going to mute myself. Thank you. Our scripture reading for today comes from the book of Acts. We're going to read chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intensely up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is a very special Sunday in the life of the church. Today is Ascension Sunday. It marks the last Sunday of Easter time, the Sunday before we celebrate Pentecost. It is the day where we celebrate Jesus's ascension into heaven. Basically, Jesus has said that he is going to work from home until further notice. On ascension, Jesus is welcomed into the Father's presence. His ascension proves that he is Lord. He is both fully human and fully divine, because only God has the power to rise from the dead and return to the Father in heaven. So today we celebrate that Jesus is Lord, that there are no other rulers but Jesus. Ascension concludes Jesus's earthly ministry. It is the event that allows Jesus to send the Spirit, The Spirit is going to aid the disciples as they fulfill Jesus's commission to share the good news with every nation and every peoples. We'll talk a little bit more about this next week. But even with the Spirit, the disciples must figure out how to live without his physical, visible presence among them. Our scripture reading for today reminds us that because of Jesus's ascension, nothing and no one can separate us from God. In our scripture reading for today, the disciples gather together, waiting for God, waiting for the outpouring of the Spirit. And while they're waiting, they ask Jesus if now is the time that Jesus is going to restore the kingdom of Israel. Jesus responds by telling them, "No, you're actually going to have to wait a little longer, because it's not for you or me to know when the Father will act." He instructs them to go back to the city and wait. While they are waiting, Jesus ascends to the Father and the disciples return to Jerusalem. The disciples isolate together in an upstairs guest room. While they wait, they pray. What I love about our scripture reading for today is that it illustrates that we do not have control over when or how God's Spirit interacts with us. Sometimes the Spirit moves so quickly and clearly through us that we can feel like a little kid riding a roller coaster, hanging on for dear life. Other times, we, like the disciples, have to wait upon the Spirit. And it is in this period of waiting that we draw closest to God. I know that in my own life, I do not enjoy waiting upon the Spirit's guidance. I do not enjoy waiting because it makes me feel like I am not in control of my own life. I've learned in these periods of waiting that I'm not, but so far this knowledge has not improved my attitude about waiting. I've also found in my own life that periods of waiting are usually followed by major changes. I know that something big is about to happen, but I don't know what, and the unknown makes me anxious. To me, what this yellow phase of reopening Pennsylvania means is that our entire community is engaging in a waiting game. Particularly as this during this first full week of eased stay-at-home orders and the opening of many retail establishments. We're waiting to see if easing restrictions will lead to a surge in cases. We're waiting to see how comfortable people will feel being in public with no treatment or no cure yet found. We're waiting to see what impact our new normal is going to have on our mental health, on our finances, and even on our sense of who we are. When I was in Guatemala a couple of months ago, I learned an important lesson about waiting upon the Spirit. Guatemala was the country where half of our group, myself included, came down with a really nasty stomach bug. Our bodies just weren't used to Guatemalan food, and our tummies were not happy. The stomach bug ranged in severity. Some of us had a couple days of dehydration and diarrhea, but some of us developed much more severe symptoms. One person even had to be hospitalized and return home early. She was so sick. During kind of the height of our illness, those of us who could eat gathered in the dining hall for dinner. Our practice throughout our trip was to participate in a devotion together after dinner. I can't remember who led the devotion that night, but I do remember the prayer they shared. It was a prayer written by the Catholic monk Thomas Merton. It goes, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I hope that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you, you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Friends, the most helpful thing we can do during periods of waiting is to pray, to acknowledge that we don't know what we're doing, but we trust that God does. And we trust that God is not going to leave us to face our perils alone. In these waiting prayers, we confess that even though that we do not know what's going to happen, and that's okay, because it is in these moments of waiting that we remember that God is in control, not us. As Pennsylvania transitions to the yellow phase of reopening, Session and I are working to formulate and communicate our plans for reopening. We appreciate your patience as we weigh the risks of reopening and the restrictions necessary to decrease those risks. I can testify that our plan for reopening comes out of many, many prayers we prayed as we waited for the Session Spirit's prompting. We know that no plan eliminates all risk, and we know that our plan is bound to ruffle a few feathers. But we trust that because Jesus is Lord, and that God acts on God's own time, things will be different going forward, and that's okay. In my theology class in seminary, when we learned about the Ascension, my professor said that ascension clarifies what the resurrection means. What he meant by that is that Jesus returning to the Father was God's plan for humanity all along. Jesus didn't just come to die. He came to defeat death and return to heaven. Friends, the same God who suffered death and rejection by the world, this God now welcomes us at the right hand of the Father. Ascension reminds us that Jesus is God's plan for the world, and neither death nor life, minions or global pandemics can stop God from acting in our world for our benefit. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, we are going to transition to our closing hymn. We're going to sing My Country, 'Tis of Thee. I'm going to mute myself and invite Mickey to play. Thank you. Friends, let me say a word of blessing as we prepare to go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. Amen. We will see you guys back here next week. I'm going to leave the call open for a couple minutes if people want to chat, but you are free to go about the rest of your day if you would like. Bye-bye.